It was in the silence of the early morning that the women came. They had been previously discussing how they would move the stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb where Jesus' body had been placed. But as they approached that tomb, they grew quiet, each with their own thought. The stone had already been rolled away. Carefully, quietly, they stepped inside the tomb. To their astonishment, terror, and perhaps even horror, there was a young man standing there, a stranger. He spoke to them. He said, "Do not be alarmed." Well, it was too late for that. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." The women would not get over their terror that easily. According to the Gospel of Mark, they ran from the tomb and kept silent because they were afraid. When Mark comes up at Easter in the lectionary, there are those who insist on that additional ending that was added later, that it be read as well. They find this silent ending unsatisfactory. How can it be silent? Well, of course, it wasn't silent for long, or none of this would be happening around us today. But we are drawn to the more dramatic versions, where Mary or the other women run to tell the disciples, and in some cases, the disciples go and check it out for themselves. But to end the story of the resurrection in silence? Where's the glory in the resurrection in that? Where's the unbridled joy in that? All we have is fear and silence. And yet, as we all know, sometimes words fall short. In our psalm today, it begins, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, but their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Without a sound, the sun, the moon, the stars sing the songs of God's glory. Anyone who's been out on a star-filled night or seen the moon rise over the Sandias understands how the message of God's glory is proclaimed in the silence of the night. The sun that brightens the sky and helps with the shades of blue we see, or allows the flowers and trees to bloom, also does its proclaiming in silence. There is the silence of fear, but also the silence of awe. There's the silence of wonder. There's the silence of confusion. I practice that one a lot. There's the silence of sadness. Silence can proclaim many things. As one who has preached many, many, many Easter sermons, I think this is either 39 or 40, I am thinking there may be something to this silence thing. After all, what more is there to say? More than once, I have been tempted to simply read the gospel and sit down, because the story pretty much tells itself, except I want to be paid. It tells the story itself, except for that part after the visit to the tomb, the part the original Mark does not include, because that's not really an ending. There's more. But the abrupt, silent ending in Mark makes room for the words of Psalm 19 to step in. "For even if the women remain silent, the heavens and the earth will proclaim the good news, that God is glorified in the risen Lord." The silent beauty of nature is more than simply a tribute to our Creator. It indicates the power of God in life and in death. It declares divine love and grace. For who among us deserves this power and beauty to the east of us? None of us. Sunrises and sunsets are expressions of God's glory and power without a single word being spoken. Perhaps part of the reason the women were silent is that they were overwhelmed by the actual truth of the resurrection. The Greek word for overwhelmed actually involves physical response, like trembling or paralysis. And after all, we have to remember, these are the women who actually saw Jesus die on the cross. They were witnesses to his death, so they knew that he was dead as a doornail dead. And now they're to be witnesses to his resurrection? That's a lot to take in a very short time. Too much, it seems. Few among us could absorb such shocking and frankly unbelievable news quickly or easily. Nor should we. If we aren't a little overwhelmed by the resurrection, perhaps we're really not understanding the power at work here. By Mark ending the gospel the way he does, there is no normalizing the resurrection. There are no meetings in the upper room for Mark, no name called in a garden, no companion on the road to Emmaus, or breakfast on the shore. All important parts of the post-resurrection gospel, but also parts that kind of normalize it. Like Jesus had just come back from a visit to his mom. And yet, it just seems wrong. We see the silent and fearful women fleeing the tomb and we exclaim, "But the gospel can't end in silence. There's just got to be more to the story than this." Mark agrees. He nods his head. He looks at the reader and then as much as says, "I know. So what are you going to do about it?" Part of the reason Mark ends where he does, at least I think part of the reason, is that it really wasn't the end of the story at all. It was just the beginning. Because a generation after Christ's resurrection, when Mark wrote this, they were continuing the story. They were teaching and proclaiming in synagogues and town squares, on riverbanks and at dinner tables. The silence of the women has found its voice in the followers of Jesus who were creating and building communities of faith. And that brings us to us. For we are part of the ongoing story. We are the ones, along with all of creation, who are entrusted to proclaim the good news that death did not have the final word. God did, and he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the news that we bring people in the darkest moments of their lives when they face the grief of death or the pain of suffering. This is the news we bring to the world, that we are children of God who has power over death. We are the ones who are carrying the teaching of Jesus forward to a new generation. It is our calling to love our neighbors and our enemies and pray for those who are against us. We are compelled to give up our cloak to the one who has none and to offer a cup of cold water to the thirsty. In these actions, the power of the resurrected Christ is seen. Often, without saying a word. For the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power of God's love for us. So, let's arrange the colorful flowers that in their wordless way proclaim the glory of God. Let's pull out the brass and roll the timpani. Let us raise our voices to proclaim the joy of the resurrection, for we are no longer afraid. We have good news to share. Amen.